I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, UFC, Catholicism, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. Psalm 25, teach me your ways, O Lord. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Today's responsorial psalm. I'm on duty today, Terry. Are you on
duty? Jesse, I'm on duty, and I actually invited Dr. Ed Mazza. Dr. Ed, are you on duty? Not on yet, but he's coming. Jesse, we have a great show today. Before we read the gospel and have a quote from Fulton Sheen about Karl Marx that's so appropriate for today, I just want to say we're going to talk about what I call the John the Baptist of our church today, Archbishop Vigano. He has a long article. We're going to take parts of it, but it's titled Our Lady Warned of a Great Apostasy in the Church Followed by the Risk of World War III. Well, that's interesting. We're going to talk about that. But before we do all of that, Jesse, I would ask you to read.
Soul food.
Yeah, soul food, brother. I'm ready.
Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, the gospel of today's Holy Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, the first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I just want to make one comment on that verse. What we're seeing right now, Terry, by
this is the solution to all the problems.
Anarchists and Antifa around the country.
Exactly.
You know why they don't love people? Because they don't love God.
Yep.
If you don't love God, the natural course of events, you're not going to love your neighbor. So you're going to try to destroy his business, and you're going to just try to be cause anarchy in the streets. We continue. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is the one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's important. Let me just mention one thing. As Catholics, the highest form of worship on planet Earth is called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But notice this, and I do know a lot of Catholics. For example, this one guy emailed me, says, I can't stand you, Jess, but I go to Mass every day. And so I responded to him because he couldn't stand some of the stuff that he hears on the shows. And he felt the same about you, Terry, by the way.
Oh, God bless him.
And I responded to him and I said, the highest form of prayer that we do as Catholics is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And look what it just says right here in this verse, that love is even more is better than sacrifice. The most perfect sacrifice, the Mass, if you're going there with hate in your heart, the Bible says, don't take your gift to the altar. You got to go and reconcile with your enemies before you come and partake of the sacrifice and give your gift at the altar. So I just warn people, as Catholics, we cannot hate people.
Nope.
You could disagree with people, but don't hate people. That's the opposite of what Christ is talking about today. And it ends by saying this. And when Jesus saw that he had answered with understanding, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think that's why I think it's St. John of the Cross says, at the end of our earthly life, when we are judged, we shall be judged by how much we loved. St. John of the Cross, Doctor of the Church. Terry?
Well said. And Jesse, I wanted to say that this is really the answer, as you just said, to the problems in our culture right now. If we look at all the craziness that's happening, I really just think that what we need to do is almost put this on a sign out where the thugs are out there doing their protests and any kind of looting. And just make that summary of what the gospel is about, the commandments, you know, that Hear, O Israel, Lord God is your alone. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, with all your strength. What a great message to give to our world. But here's the problem, Jess. We've been hiding our bushel. We've been like the light. We've been shining it down in the ground. We have to shine that out to the people to show what the answer is, because right now the world is very, very confused. And let's get that message out to people.
You're right, Terry. Terry, and also regarding this passage today in the gospel, something else that jumps out at me.
What's that, brother?
Is that Jesus is extenuating of the Ten Commandments that were given to us by God in the Old Testament. He said it right here. He reemphasized that the most important commandment of the ten.
Yes.
Not, you know, it's not thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not kill. Those are important. Or thou shalt not lie. The most important commandment is thou shalt love the Lord your God. The first commandment, basically. And this is why idolatry is so wrong. So what is idolatry in the New Testament? St. Paul tells us what idolatry is in Ephesians 5:5 and Colossians 3:5. He said idolatry right now for modern man, it's not building statues of Dagon or Isis or Baal. No, the idolatry that the devil's using against us today in the New Testament, based on Ephesians 5:5 and Colossians 3:5, is the love of money and sexual perversion. That's New Testament idolatry. And how many Americans are putting their love of money and their love of sexual perversion above love of God? That's the problem in our society right now. And when you don't have, when you let your emotions dictate your behavior, turn on the television, and that's what you have. You got Antifa.
Well said. I believe we have Dr. Ed Mazza on the line. Dr. Ed, are you reporting for duty, sir?
Reporting for duty, sir.
God bless you. Ed, I want to welcome you. We're going to take our next segment here, a section of our show, to talk about Fulton Sheen's comments. And so I want to bring that choo-choo. I want to bring that locomotive.
Locomotive
train into the studio. Here it is, Fulton Sheen, ready to serve. And Jess, he adds another problem in our culture. I think this is appropriate, what we're going to be talking with Archbishop Vigano's article. It's about a guy by the name of Karl Marx, okay? And everybody knows communism. Karl Marx had two sources of income, Bishop Sheen said. One briefly came from his service as a foreign correspondent for the New York Tribune. The other source of his income came from his rich friend, Friedrich Engels, the son of a merchant in Manchester. And here's the cash value, Jesse and Dr. Ed. Bishop Sheen says, it's easy to understand how a man who never earned his own living but survived through the aid of others should be so readily develop a system of economics based on the depossession of others. Jess, does that just say it all right there? With the entitlement mentality that our culture right now is set for that. We want everything for free, and if we don't get it, we'll riot. Ed, what are your thoughts?
That's exactly what we're seeing right now with these Antifa anarchists.
Yeah.
They're saying, I can't have that. I can't afford that, so I'm going to break the window.
Yep.
And I'm going to use as a justification, oh, yeah, the death of George Floyd. They can care less about this.
That's a
man.
Fact.
They don't know who he is from Adam.
Right.
All he is a stepping stone for them to justify what's in their heart, which is evil. And why is that? Again, you got two teams on planet Earth. It's very simple New Testament theology. You got the sons of light and the sons of darkness. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are part of the sons of darkness.
And Jesse, just to prove your point, four or five more people were shot in this last day or two. The black cop in St. Louis was retired trying to defend his friend's shop. Nobody said a word, okay? Here's the problem, Jesse. They're using George's death for their agenda, and that's just a fact. Ed, what are your thoughts about this? I'd like to hear from you.
Karl Marx was a Satanist.
Yep.
He wrote satanic poetry.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Most people
don't.
He's the father of socialism.
Yep.
And he wrote satanic poetry in which he says, I will howl gigantic curses on mankind.
Wow.
And his And his present-day successors, the guys like Soros and the Freemasons, what they've done is they've unleashed the virus to destroy small businesses in America, and now they've unleashed Antifa thugs to destroy small businesses in the United States. There is a cozy relationship between the big capitalists
yes.
and the big socialists.
Wow.
And that's what you referred to in that quote from Bishop Sheen.
Yes.
The guy who was the sugar daddy mm-hmm. for Karl Marx was Friedrich Engels.
Tell us about him.
Who was a wealthy capitalist.
Yeah.
And he's given money to this guy to overthrow capitalism.
It's crazy. Exactly.
It's called selling the rope to hang you with.
And we're doing that right now. Wow.
Let me mention one thing just to show you something that you don't hear of in the news. I got it right here.
Yeah.
One federal officer was shot and killed. 21 Minneapolis law enforcement officers injured in riots.
Right.
12 Las Vegas police officers injured during riots. 2 Capitol police officers were injured during the riot in Harrisburg. 6 Athens police officers injured during a protest. 33 New York police officers injured during riots. 3 Denver police officers ran over by a vehicle. 50 Secret Service agents injured by Molotov cocktails in Washington. 21 officers injured in Salt Lake City. 3 Oak Law police officers injured. Several Champaign police officers injured. 7 officers injured in Sacramento. 4 Prince County police officers sustained head injuries from bricks. 1 officer struck by the head with a brick in Albany. 2 Richland officers shot in Virginia. 2 officers struck in the head with projectiles in Santa Ana. An active shooter opened fire at the Oakland Police Department. It goes on. You're not hearing about this.
No. All lives matter. Crazy by saying that.
That's
we'll be right
John
back.
That's what John 3:16 says, Terry. All
yep.
lives matter.
You got it. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Coming up on the next Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco.
This show is one of the most important shows that we've done because it's a focus on the current pandemic, COVID-19. Bishop David is filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who is right in tune with what we need to do to grow spiritually. And I'm so excited to put it on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is a show that will give us encouragement and will give us hope.
Catch Empowered by the Spirit Fridays after the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Three men reporting for duty to the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Mother Church.
Amen.
So let's get right into it. Yes. Archbishop Vigano is talking about, and if we got Dr. Ed here. He's a an expert in church history, medieval church history.
Yep.
So he's going to be able to penetrate the thoughts of this incredible shepherd that we have here. As he was interviewed, it's a rather long article on LifeSite News, but he talks about Our Lady warned of great apostasy
yes.
in the church, followed by the risk of World War III. Let me show you where in the Bible the word apostasy is at, then I want to get Ed's take on it. You have the word apostasy used in Acts chapter 21, verse 21. Here's what it actually says. And they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or observe the customs. In Acts 21:21, where it says to forsake, that means in Greek, that's apostasia. But in another one in the New Testament that's very clear, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will come unless the rebellion comes first. That's the Greek word apostasia, which means the falling away of the faith. So Dr. Ed, as a church historian, has there been a massive falling away of the faith? Let's say since 1965, since the Second Vatican Council, and as Archbishop Vigano, he's also highlighting this Marian apparition in Italy that not many people know about, where this Marian apparition has hearkened us back to Fatima.
Exactly.
And she warned us in this Italian Marian apparition in Italy that Satan is out to destroy the family. Is this the apostasy that St. Paul spoke of, Dr. Ed?
Indeed, it's looking more and more like that every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when Our Lady came to Fatima, she entrusted the children with the three secrets.
Yep.
The third secret starts out, in Portugal, the dogmas of the faith will always be preserved. But then the rest of her message was kept silent. And we can get into that as the program goes mm-hmm. by. In 1982, Pope John Paul II went to Fatima to put the assassin's bullet that was in his chest on May 13th, the anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, into the crown of the Pilgrim Virgin statue at the shrine in Fatima, Portugal, to thank her for saving his life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what John Paul said. The message of Fatima is addressed to every human being. This is what he said in June of 1982. And he said, or was it May of 1982? And he says, he talks about Our Blessed Lady. And then he goes on to say that societies are menaced by apostasy. Mm. And the collapse of morality involves the collapse of societies.
Wow.
You think?
Yeah.
And then he says, can the mother who, with all the force of the love that she fosters in the Holy Spirit, desires everyone's salvation, can she keep silence on what undermines the very bases of their salvation? And he answers his own question, no, she cannot. So Pope St. John Paul II told us at Fatima in May 1982 that he was hinting at the fact that the third secret has to deal with apostasy and with dangers to our faith and our salvation. And this was reiterated by his right hand, Joseph Ratzinger, Cardinal right. Ratzinger, who at that time was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Did you know that he gave an interview
yep.
on November 11th, 1984, to journalist Vittorio Mizzori?
Mm-hmm.
And Mizzori asked him, did you read the third secret? And Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger says, yes, I have. And then he asked, can you reveal it to us? And this is what Joseph Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict, said. In his own words, he said that the third secret involves a radical call to conversion, the absolute gravity of history, and now here's the money phrase, the dangers threatening the faith and the life of a Christian and therefore the world. And then he says, and also the importance of the last times, the end times.
Dr. Ed, you know, that is very similar to what the future Pope Pius XII said in 1933. He said in 1933, Cardinal Pacelli, he said, "I am concerned about the message of the Blessed Virgin to the little Lucia of Fatima. There is instance of Mary's part on the dangers threatening the church is a divine warning against the suicide through the alteration of the faith in her liturgy, in her theology, and in her soul. I feel around me the innovators who want to dismantle the sacred chapel, destroy the universal flame of the church, and reject her ornaments and inflict regret on her in her historical past." Dr. Ed, Sister Lucia was talking also to Cardinal Bertone, and the question came, she said, there is a diabolical disorientation that is confusing the world and souls. The worst thing is that it has succeeded in leading into error, deception. Those souls who have a great responsibility because of their position they occupy, they are blind and guide of blind. They allow themselves to be dominated by a diabolical wave that is invading the world. Dr. Ed, is this microphone on? Are we hearing this? Because we've actually been living through this time where we have mass confusion. Dr. Scott Hahn quotes in 1993 that 250 million people, quoting Christianity Today, have left the Catholic Church. Is this what Our Lady was talking about? The people, the apostasy?
And let me ask another question of Dr. Ed so that you can answer both at the same time.
Sure,
Dr. Ed, what? When the third secret of Fatima was released,
1960,
when the Vatican released it after, like, you know,
2000, yeah, that was in 2000.
It appears to be. I mean, when you hear people like Archbishop Vigano, Bishop Snyder, Bishop Cardinal Burke, the people in the know, it seems to me like the 2000 version was redacted. There was a little bit of whiteout that was used, and it appears that the full message was not given to us. As a historian, as an expert on church history, is that your read of history? Because now we have cardinals and bishops that are saying, there's more to it than was released. That's what I hear them saying.
Yeah, Archbishop Vigano gave an interview to LifeSite News, and in that interview, he talks about how Cardinal Bertone, who was the Secretary of State in April of 2000, in a press conference on the third secret. This is what Vigano says about that.
Mm-hmm.
He made an astonishing declaration that ended with these words, quote, "The third secret has nothing to do with the apostasy linked to the council, the Novus Ordo of the Mass, and the conciliar pope, as the integrists have claimed for decades," unquote. So what is Archbishop Vigano's response to Cardinal Bertone's claim 20 years ago? He says, well, let's put what he said into context. And what Vigano does is he gives that quote that Terry just gave about how Pope Pius XII expressed his concern, right?
Yes.
The alteration of the faith. And then, commenting on what Pope Pius XII allegedly said, Vigano says, "This prophecy about the suicide of the Catholic Church has meanwhile been largely fulfilled through the satanic, Masonic attempt to Protestantize Catholicism, reducing it to one of the many religions that are part of a single world religion." And then he says, I'm about to say something, and let's consider this in relation to Cardinal Bertone. And he quotes that other quote that you just gave from Sister Lucia from the 1950s, in which she says, "There is a diabolical disorientation that is confusing souls."
Wow.
"And the worst thing is that the people who have the greatest responsibility in the church are blind guides, and they've allowed themselves to be dominated by the diabolical."
Wow, we need to pray for them.
I don't think he's giving a very flattering assessment of Cardinal Bertone.
No, he's not. Wow.
Now, the thing of it is this.
Dr. Ed, it seems like he's describing this present moment right now.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly, that's what Bishop Vigano was referring to here.
And now what he what Archbishop Vigano says in this LifeSite News interview are sentiments that he has also said in an April interview with a Portuguese magazine called Dias Irae.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the Dias Irae refers to?
No, I don't.
So this is the thing. I don't want to get too deep in the water here. But
it's all right. I don't know
Thomas of Celano, mm-hmm. who was a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi,
mm-hmm.
he wrote a liturgical hymn about the last days of the last judgment. And it's called the Dies Irae, the Days of Wrath,
mm-hmm.
when God's going to judge the world. So anyway, this Portuguese newspaper interviews Archbishop Vigano, and Archbishop Vigano says the following. He says, the purpose of the neo-church, let me back it up. It seems, this is Vigano talking,
mm-hmm.
it seems that also the post-conciliar church, modernist and Masonic, aspires to transform, to overcome the Church of Christ, replacing it with a neo-church, a deformed and monstrous creature that does not come from God. And he goes on to explain what he means by that. He says that the New World Order wants to bring about a new universal religion. And he says, in this sense, the Second Vatican Council's revolution first had to demolish the church's heritage, its tradition. And then he said, then free herself from the old hierarchy. And only recently has this revolution begun to offer itself without any pretense for what it intends to be. And then I'll leave you with this. He says, what you call utopia is actually a dystopia because it represents the concretization of Freemasonry's plan and the preparation for the advent of the Antichrist.
Wow. Ed, let me jump in. Let me just jump in. We're going to take a quick break. But, Jesse, you've got something going on with Spiritual Warfare this weekend. Why don't you give us a plug, brother?
Yeah, this weekend, Spiritual Warfare, it's an online conference. It's called Terms of Engagement. It's going to be, if you want to sign up for it, libercristo.org, libercristo.org. It's this Saturday, June 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You're going to have the experts, Father Ripperger's experts, Dan Schneider, Kyle Clement, giving lectures on healing, deliverance, and exorcism.
Good. And we've got Jesse coming out on June 13th for the Catholic Men's Conference again with Ruben Nava and Tim Gordon. Hey, I just heard Tim Gordon. Oh, man, I'll tell people on the other side what happened to Tim. But we also have a virtual pilgrimage with Steve Ray on the 20th of June. You want to go to it? Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and I'd love to see you there. I'll be there. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. We have Dr. Ed Mazza talking about this latest pronouncement by Archbishop Vigano, warning Our Lady's warning of a great apostasy in the church. We'll be right back.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people. You know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing at least and untrustworthy at the worst.
Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, we've got the three men that love the Lord Jesus Christ, love Holy Mother Church, and
Amen.
If you want to see an example of Catholic agape love in action, Caritas, I'm looking at a picture that says, nuns praying for looters after attack on Catholic bookstore.
Yeah.
Catholicism, when it's lived, it always takes the moral high ground. We're talking with Ed Mazza, church historian, medieval historian. He's an expert on the history of the Catholic Church. And we're talking right now about an interview that Archbishop Vigano gave with LifeSite News. And he's talking about the great apostasy. Ed, continue the thought that you were making before the break.
Exactly.
So the reason why LifeSite News interviewed Archbishop Vigano is because a few days ago, a correspondence between him and a cloistered religious sister was revealed and translated into English. And I got to tell you, this is one little feisty cloistered religious sister, because she says, I'll read a little bit from what she says here.
Sure.
She says, I'm a cloistered religious sister. I'm writing to you. And he basically says here, your appeal, which has gone around the world to awaken consciences about the imminent danger that is underneath the mask of the coronavirus emergency. In other words, a few weeks ago, Archbishop Vigano put out the word that governments are using the coronavirus emergency to take away the rights of the church and to take away our civil liberties. And she's answering that. She says, it is interesting to note that even non-believers are alarmed at the despotic course of events. And she says, the situation is increasingly overwhelming, but the strategy being used by Bergoglio and the forces allied with him employs a technique of isolation and disintegration. And then she goes on to say, it is most probable that in the near future, the preparation for the manifestation of the Antichrist will become ever more imposed and oppressive, also due to the steps that Bergoglio himself will decide to take in preparation. Mm-hmm. Hey, sister, tell me what you really think.
Yeah, really? Well, that's powerful. Wow.
So now Archbishop Vigano responds to her, and in his response to her, he basically says that the message of Our Lady of Civitavecchia, which happened in 1995,
right,
and which apparently the local bishop there approves of it, was frustrated by Cardinal Bertone, who at that time was the Secretary of State at the Vatican, and that's why Archbishop Vigano starts to talk about how Freemasons have infiltrated the Vatican, and every day it's becoming clearer that there's an alignment going on between the Freemasonic forces that want to create a new world order. And unfortunately, our Holy Catholic Church has been hijacked by people that want to promote this.
The barbarians are inside the gate at this point.
We need to be praying.
Yeah, as Catholics, we've fought barbarians outside our gates.
Yeah, many times.
During the Crusades. I mean, there was different, frontal assault, the barbarian invaders and stuff. But at this point, these Masons, we would categorize them under the heresy of the modernist. They've infiltrated the church very effectively. And this is something, Ed, I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to know this stuff. I've been reading this stuff for 25, 30 years. I'd read Michael Davies. I'd read, you know, John Minari. I said, nah. These guys, put on your tinfoil hat. These guys are nuts. These guys are crazy. And I would just dismiss their arguments. You know what? I was wrong.
What about Father Malachi Martin?
I was wrong. Yeah. These guys were so ahead of the curve decades before I was. I'm just coming around to this right now, but I admit that now you have mainstream people saying this. Vigano, Schneider, Mueller, Seurat. You have mainstream people that are not on the fringes of Catholicism, prelates, successors of the apostles, saying what some of these guys were saying 20, 30 years ago, that I dismiss their arguments.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, well, you know, let me give you two quick quotes here. One is from Father Malachi Martin, who in his book, he published, his last book was 21 years ago. It was called Windswept House.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's fiction, it's really faction, if you get my drift.
No, I get it.
Most of it is really, okay. And he gives a dialogue here between Cardinal Casseroli, although he changes his name to Mastroianni, just so the listeners know, Cardinal Casseroli was one of these Judases within the church, I'm sorry to say.
He was the Secretary of State. Let's make sure people know where he was, too.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead.
Secretary of State, when John Paul II first became, right after he first became Pope.
That's right.
And he did everything in his power to bring the church into line with the Freemasonic New World Order. And so in his novel, and you have to read the whole thing, but I'll just read a few snippets here.
Mm-hmm.
He has the character of Casseroli, or the character Mastroianni, having a dialogue with one of these guys like, you know, Bill Gates or George Soros, speaking about a process that would at last clear humanity of poverty and so would eliminate and it would harmonize the spirit of man, God, and the cosmos. And when this process, with a capital P, was fully accomplished in the new political order of mankind, then would the church be one with the world. For only then would the church take its proud and rightful place as part of the human heritage, as a stabilizing factor in the new world order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to tell you, Archbishop Vigano has been warning us that is what's going on here with Pope Francis's or Jorge Bergoglio's Abu Dhabi declaration. Okay? Last year, he said... he signed a document with the Grand Imam, and the document says that God wills the diversity of not only races and the sexes, but religion.
Oops.
That's
wrong.
That's totally against Catholic doctrine.
That's right.
So listen to what Vigano says. In the Garden of Abu Dhabi, the temple of the world, syncretic neo-religion is about to rise with its anti-Christian dogmas. Not even the most hopeful of the Freemasons would have imagined so much. Pope Bergoglio thus proceeds to further implement the apostasy of Abu Dhabi, the fruit of pantheistic and agnostic neo-modernism that tyrannizes the Roman Church, germinated by the conciliar document Nostra Aetate. We are compelled to recognize it, the poisoned fruits of the conciliar springtime are before the eyes of anyone who does not allow himself to be blinded by the dominant lie. Archbishop Vigano, tell me what you really think.
Wow.
This is a successor of the apostles, and let's just remember that
John the Baptist.
Yeah, though he stands in as a minority position, so did Saint Athanasius back in the 4th century. He stood in a minority position as he confronted the Arian heretics when most people fell lock, stop, and said, yeah, let's follow Arius. He's right. Jesus is not God. And so some people may say, well, he's a lone voice out there. Yeah, there's a few like him and stuff. Well, once again, when you look at history, some of those lone voices will have been the only ones proclaiming the truth. Once again, Terry said it, John the Baptist in the New Testament. Dr. Ed, I want to ask you a question. I think all of this fits into this one section of the catechism, which a lot of people, they probably, gloss over as they read it. Mm-hmm. It's in paragraph 675. And as I'm seeing all this play out in the last couple of years, I always go back to 675 and 676. Here's what it says. Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. Mm-hmm. That's a reference to the apostasy.
Right. Okay?
The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems. What's the apparent solution? My take? Global warming, climate change, socialism, new world order, abortion, reduce the population on planet Earth. These are all man-made solutions, okay? So these are offering men an apparent solution to their problems. Again, the globalists are saying we got too many people on planet Earth. We got to reduce the population. Offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. You want to see somebody who this fits hand in glove? Melinda Gates, a baptized Catholic, she's visited the Pope, and they've had many discussions. They're going back and forth on the issue of contraception. And she's saying, she's telling him to his face, you're wrong. I disagree with you. You're wrong. And here she's, you know, she's coming with, her arguments, and the Holy Father's coming back at it with her. Again, this is where we're at. We have Catholic billionaires that are trying to buy the church and trying to influence the church. Then it says here, the supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God. What's that?
That's
socialism.
Exactly.
And of his Messiah come in the flesh. What do you say about that paragraph of the catechism? I think it's talking about exactly what Vigano's talking about.
Precisely. And it's happening right before our eyes. And as Vigano says, all pretense has been lifted. They're doing it openly. They're not even afraid to do it openly anymore.
Right.
And we have to ask ourselves, how come Bill and Melinda Gates and Jeffrey Sachs, the population guy, and all of these terrible one world, new world order, global government, pro-abortion, pro-contraception, pro-euthanasia. Why does Pope Bergoglio, Pope Francis, hang out with all these people? Why does he give them access to the Vatican? And whereas people like Cardinal Burke, it was 3 or 4 years now since they asked for an answer to their dubia, and they can't get an audience. But the thing of it is this. Pope Benedict, back in 2010, speaking about the third secret of Fatima, warned us that stuff like this was going to happen.
Yeah, he did.
He was on he did a press conference on his way to Fatima.
Right.
And he says, and he's speaking about the third secret. He says, the sufferings of the... Are we going to break?
Yeah, give me a break. This is a good teaser. When we come back, we'll give you Pope Benedict's quote and also the solution that Our Lady's asking so that we all can participate in the solution to help Holy Mother Church out. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show with Dr. Ed Mazza. We'll be back with that quote from Pope Benedict the 16th.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back.
Catholic Radio.
Jesse, before we get to our speaker, I know we've got a call coming in about something with the men's group, but I want Dr. Ed to finish his quote from Pope Benedict XVI. Kind of tell us what was that in reference to, Dr. Ed? And then we get the solution. Go ahead.
Sure. He says that beyond the great vision of the Pope's suffering, referring to the third secret, he says there are indicated realities of the future of the church which gradually develop and reveal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he says one sees the need for a passion of the church, which is going to be reflected in the person of the Pope, but the Pope stands for the church, and therefore it is the sufferings of the church that are announced.
Mm.
And this is maybe a good segue into later on what we want to close with.
Yeah, the solution.
And he says that the response of Fatima relies in the response of a permanent conversion, penance, prayer, and the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And lastly, that the Holy Father says that anybody who thinks that the prophetic message of Fatima is part of the past is just deluding himself. So in 2010, Pope Benedict was trying to warn us that the message of the third secret of Fatima is going to unfold in front of us.
Wow. And that is...
It was something different from when he said in 2000, wasn't it, Ed, Dr. Ed? I mean, we're basically, didn't he allude that the message was fully revealed in 2000?
Yeah.
Kind of like nothing more to see here. Move on. Isn't that kind of a change of what he said?
It just goes to show you that, Jess, you're in good company. Like yourself and like millions of other people, it seems that Cardinal Ratzinger also began to see and put two and two together and evolved his position on this.
Mm-hmm.
And was able to finally warn us about what was going to come down the line.
Dr. Ed, you talked about the solution, because I want people to have a understanding that they're part of the solution. Holy Mother, the church has been wounded by Freemasonry, by modernism, by all these problems in the church. But where is our hope going to rely on, Ed? Can you tell us a little bit about the peace plan?
Terry, let me just ask you a question before, because that's the closer right
that
now.
That is a big closer.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask both of you, because I've been asked this question via email, and Terry, you shared it with me, and I forgot where we read it from. Do you, any of you remember where Cardinal Ratzinger, in one of his books or one of his homilies, he said that most of the clergy, he says, in the modern age, is poorly formed?
Mm.
I forget where I read that from, Terry. We did a show on it.
We did.
I'm just wondering
if you remember
what book or what, Doctor, you remember that quote, where it comes from? It was stunning quote, what he said.
I can't remember.
I remember the quote. We did a show on it, and it was one of his books, and I just don't recall. I know that he also said that the church is going to become like a remnant in
69. Well, Terry, maybe you can check with your friends from
the
press, get that quote. But
I can work on it. So basically, Ed, the solution of Fatima, because people here are listening and going, wow, we're in bad shape. The church is wounded right now, but we have hope. Tell us about our hope in Jesus and Mary. Go ahead.
So just like God sent Jesus to Mary,
yes,
to help redeem us,
yes,
when he wanted to redeem the world,
right.
St. Louis de Montfort says that at the end times, God is also going to use Mary to bring about the second coming of her son, Jesus.
Amen.
And at the very end of his life site interview, Archbishop Vigano gives us big reason for hope,
mm-hmm,
in
exactly.
connection with Our Lady's alleged apparition at Civita Vecchia,
yep,
and her apparition at Fatima.
Right.
And what he says is that God wants to save the church and all humanity through Mary.
Mm.
She is the ever-victorious one, as
yep.
St. Maximilian loved to call her.
Yep.
She's the eternal enemy of the devil, as Blessed Pius IX called her. And this is how he ends his interview.
Mm-hmm.
Archbishop Vigano says, "May the church, in her militant little remnant,
mm-hmm,
fight and resist, unyielding to any compromise with the world and its prince," meaning Satan.
Sure.
Indifferent. This is what we have to, this is our attitude.
Yes.
We have to be indifferent to the approval of others.
Amen.
Insensitive to flattery.
Yep.
Always absorbed in God, like Mary.
Well said.
Lost wow. in him and faithful.
Yes.
And he concludes with a quote from Pope Pius XII. "You, kneeling at the feet of the Immaculate Queen, must be willing not to rest until you see her reign supreme over everything and everyone, first in yourselves, then around you, in families, classes, and social groups, and in all private and public activity."
Wow. That's powerful. Jesse, we have a caller who just is implementing that Fatima plan at one of these events that are going on here in Southern California. Gil from the men's group, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You're on with Jess, Dr. Ed, and Terry Barber. Go ahead, Gil. Welcome.
Thank you guys so much. You know, over the last few days, there's been some protests, if
yeah,
you will,
sure,
in Covina.
Yes, they have.
That's our hometown.
Sure.
And so I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to reach out to my guys,
good,
to guys in a Catholic men's fellowship to go and pray.
Good.
Well, yesterday I did that, and I sent a message out, and three of us,
mm-hmm,
went out to Heritage Plaza there.
Downtown Covina.
We
yep.
knelt.
Mm-hmm.
We knelt down in the midst, and we prayed a full rosary.
God bless you.
And we tossed out a St. Michael's prayer.
Good.
And we knelt at the foot of Our Lady, and we asked her to pray for a bringing about of the spirit of peace,
amen,
of love, of charity. We prayed for reparation,
mm-hmm,
and we prayed aloud.
Good.
And, you know, Terry, when we first arrived, there were shouts. They were
really
yelling, "Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter." They were yelling, "No justice, no peace."
Uh-huh.
When we started praying our rosary,
yes,
the shouts stopped.
Awesome.
Because we were praying for a peaceful heart. We were praying for the expelling of that spirit of hardness, that spirit of hate, that spirit of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Terry?
Tell me.
After we got done praying the first rosary, I said, "Let's get closer." We got closer, and we prayed another decade, another whole rosary.
Awesome.
And a woman came up to us.
Yes.
She was walking towards us.
Yeah.
And she said, "I'm with you. I'm one of you. I'm one of you." And I looked at her, and I said, you know, we had just started the fourth glorious mystery. And I said, "I want to offer this mystery for my sister here who walked up
yes.
to us. Put your mantle of protection upon her.
Yes.
Put your mantle of protection upon this place.
Good.
Dispel the hardness of the hearts that are here." And we continued to pray that rosary, Terry.
Good job,
and
Gil.
Jess and Dr. Mazza. And it was wonderful. And
yep.
I stood up after, and I hung around. Some people brought us some water. But you know what? Everyone saw us. And they saw us with our rosary in hands, and what power.
What a great witness.
What power yeah. Our Lady brings.
Amen,
and
Gil.
Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Oh, thousands of people are hearing this. And
Gilbert, you're my new hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, man.
No, it's a good job.
That was heroic. What you did was heroic.
Yep.
And that's, by the way, when people are canonized, that's what the church looks at. Heroic virtue. I'm telling you right now, you put a smile on the Lord and Our Lady. Keep up the good work, brother.
Thanks,
Don't
Gil.
Stop till you drop.
Only by the grace of God, you guys.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
You got it, partner.
Amen.
God love you, Gil.
Bye.
Bye-bye
God
now.
God bless you guys.
Bye-bye now. So, Jesse, Dr. Ed, I had to plug that in because that's really plugging the peace plan from heaven as Our Lady of Fatima. So all of us can do that, because we all know, Jesse, that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray for them and make reparation. We need to pray for our people, especially inside our church, Dr. Ed. What would you summarize the peace plan from heaven on Fatima as, Ed?
Well, Our Lady asked for penance.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the third secret, there's an angel with a big flaming sword who says, penance, penance, penance.
That's right.
And what that means is that we get to participate in Jesus's saving redemption of sinners, because we are the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ.
Right.
So that when we suffer, it's really Jesus suffering through us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that his merits are eternal and infinite, and can help give graces to hardened sinners.
Well said.
You know, Saint Teresa the Little Flower, one time she prayed for a notorious criminal that she read about in the newspapers. And on the day that he was about to be executed, he repented, because Saint Teresa was praying for him. And that's also why she's the patroness of the missions, even though she never left the cloister, is because of her prayers,
that's right,
millions of souls were converted. And if I could quickly, gentlemen, if I could just put in a shameless plug,
sure,
in case folks don't know.
Absolutely.
I've got a show every Monday.
That's right.
Here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Good job.
From noon to 1 o'clock Pacific time. And my special guest on the Bar of History this Monday is going to be Steve Mosier.
Good.
From the Population Research Institute.
He's great.
We're going to talk all about how China is involved in this one world order takedown of the church and takedown of capitalism. And also, Dr. Taylor Marshall was nice enough to have me on his show recently. So
yes,
I saw it.
Check that
great
out.
Great show.
Well.
Good. Dr. Ed, we appreciate that. Jesse, wrap it up. We only got a couple minutes on this solution, because the people, we all can participate in helping Holy Mother, the Church, with our prayers and our actions. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. If you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button. Share this with the show with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And don't lose hope. Remember what St. Father de Pio says, pray hope and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear our prayers. So if you want to make sure you're part of Team Jesus and Team Mary,
amen,
pray your rosary every single day. That's the peace plan of Fatima.
You got it.
Okay? And it's St. Dominic received the rosary from Our Lady to defeat heresy. We've got the heresy of modernism, the heresy of Freemasonry. These are heresies. Number two, go to church as often as possible. Go to Mass as often as possible. Receive as much sanctifying grace from the Eucharist as possible. And also, go visit the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament throughout the week. And you know what? You could even just go even further and say, I'm gonna give Jesus 1 hour a week.
Amen.
There's 168 hours a week. I'm going to give him 1 hour a week. Number three, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day, the Mass readings. If all you're doing is cutting your teeth on social media, you're going to get depressed. Trust me. You've got to offset the bad news with the good news. What is the good news? The gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Number four, Fridays, as Dr. Edmond, let's enter into a time of penance. Penance every Friday. Want to go old school? Wednesdays and Fridays, okay? Remember, prayer and fasting is the only way you can drive out some demons. There's diabolical activity right now. And finally, go to confession at least once a month to stay in a state of grace. If you're not in a state of grace, get there as soon as possible. And every night before you go to bed, examine your conscience and get rid of those venial sins by making a good, heartfelt act of contrition. Terry?
Well said. And I want to remind people, we don't have confessions on Saturday. Most parishes are open. But on the 13th of this month, June, we're starting up Mass and confessions twice a week, twice on the Saturday and on Sunday. Just check us out. And Jesse Romero, my final question to you, brother, is always the same one, brother. What state should we be living in?
It doesn't matter what state of all 50 you live in. Make sure you live in a state of grace. And it doesn't matter what state you live in all 50. You don't want to live in the state of mortal sin.
Amen. Ed, Dr. Ed, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, Dr. Ed comes in after us once a week on Mondays on the Terry and Jesse Show. Get our free app. If you're not on, go get the free app on your app phone. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.